my history, to my father, to myself, where my life made complete sense. And if you ever met Palestinians or been around table with Palestinians, it's always laughter. It's always joy. It's always warmth. Like, no matter what, everybody comes together. And really, really, it's one of the most, you know, I used to be ashamed of, I don't want to say ashamed, but I would get bullied for being Palestinian. Oftentimes we told us from a fake country or a place that doesn't exist, but I've learned to make it my greatest pride. I am so proud of being Palestinian, and truly it is such an honor. And to carry my father's stories with me, and just to carry it on.
Thank you so much.
And it was an honor to have you here on Unceded Airways.
I'm so glad we were able to talk today. Have a great evening, Yanni.
Thank you so much. You too. Take care.
Welcome. Anansi Kwakin.
Do Tansi. Ichua. Iswea.
Ahlo Sahla.
I'm at Skype.
Bienvenido.
Unati.
Jack Dunal. Tai Tai Tan.
You were invited to volunteer for Spicesisim Garden. Get away from the rat race. Get back to the land. Heal. Reconnect with yourself. Touch grass. Find a quiet place among the plants and find a quiet place inside yourself.
Check us out on Facebook at Indigenous Garden UBC Farm, or visit the Spicesisim Indigenous Garden located at UBC Farm just off of Ross Road.
And do you hate that greedy, soulless international...
Hello and welcome to another episode of Music's on the Menu. I am one of your hosts, Alex Bird, joined alongside me...
Hugh Dana.
...by Hugh Dana, who jumped the gun that time on the intro.
Oh.
But that's fine. I was kind of thinking about in that... I did pause in that moment because I was thinking about how my little... Should I switch up the intro spiel someday? Diversify it.
Perhaps. Diversify it.
Diversify it. Just like Deng Xiaoping, just like what Deng Xiaoping did to the Chinese economy in the 1980s, which is the main thing I've been thinking about today. But that is not what we're doing today. First of all, we're coming to you live from the traditional and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nation peoples in Vancouver, in the UBC campus. And... yeah, we're not going to be talking about reform and opening in China in the 80s. Instead, we're going to be talking about, primarily, anyway, the new Ariana Grande album, Eternal Sunshine. That's sort of the main thing of the itinerary for today. Hugh, how are you?
How's your Monday? My Monday's been pretty, probably the opposite of yours. I've had a nice, relaxing Monday. Enjoyed the weather. Listened to some good tune. Have you listened to any tune today?
Other than Ariana Grande prep, that's really the only music listening I've done today.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. Yeah. Let's just hop right into it then. So, it would be 10 days ago now, because we decided we need to give each other, or give ourselves far more time.
Well, you might as well. Kind of having a Friday to Monday turnaround to have opinions on an album is pretty difficult. So, but yeah, 10 days ago now, as you said.
Yeah, 10 days ago, Ariana Grande dropped her, I believe it's her 7th studio album, Eternal Sunshine. This is a follow-up to kind of her last record. It was absolutely a big record, which was Positions in 2000. So it's been a 4-year wait. I want to say Positions came after COVID. I feel like it was a COVID album, but a lot has happened in the world since then. A lot has happened for her since then. Quite a bit has happened for her. So, as always, we start with our expectations. What were your expectations going into this? Or would you like me to jump?
Yeah, I'll go. I'll go. Because you probably have a longer thing to say than me anyway. I mean, my expectations were pretty positive. Historically, Ariana Grande's been a pretty good album artist with albums like Sweetener, Thank You Next, Positions. All being pretty well-received albums with pretty strong songs across the board. And the lead single for the album to Yes, and was a pretty good song. Suggested that the album was going to be going in a more dance influence direction, which was compelling. The album we got, can't say really lean that hard into those dance elements that Yes and indicated it would, but I don't know. I was expecting a pretty good album. You know, moderately high expectations. And And I'm not really sure, just sort of initially previewing things, like, I'm not really sure if those expectations were met. It could be, that's, I guess, all I can really say at the moment, is I'm not sure if those, like, initial expectations were fully met, but I was expecting, like, a pretty good album, and one that sounded a bit different, than the one that ended up arriving.
Fair enough. I have to agree that, I mean, just because this, we've discussed this probably in depth now, but kind of this kind of pop, mainstream pop kind of opening their arms to the dance world. And we've gone over this a million times, and Ariana Grande's, the single Yes And was absolutely a dance song. So we were all like, oh, wow, are we about to get an Ariana Grande dance record? We did not get that, as you mentioned. My expectations were high. I really, really, Positions was probably my favorite album since the second one, which was like 2015, which
of hers.
Yours Truly might have been that one. Yeah, since like way back, since the one with Love You Harder.
Yeah.
I really loved Positions. I thought Positions was really fun. The features were great. There were huge hits off of it. She kind of went in a direction, I feel like it kind of, Now that I like have listened to this album, it makes like the transitions make complete sense, or just kind of like the evolution of her sound, and that is something that I actually thought was quite interesting, was kind of the thematics of this record, compared to Positions, which is kind of obviously like this record was like fully barren of sexualized things, which I was pretty shocked by, considering Positions is called Positions, 3435, POV, Off the Table, that song with Doja Cat, I think it's called Motive. That album was really bouncy, like kind of almost, I wouldn't know the appropriate words to say, but that we got something totally different, and I was really impressed with that. I think that this album really reflects what happened to her. I think it's really meticulously put together. The floor is really high. Probably the highest floor we've kind of talked about this term.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a variety of pop songs. I think she is... You know how, like, before For All the Dogs, Drake was like, yeah, this is For All the Dogs. This is what you, this is what the real fans are going to get. I feel like this is that for Ariana Grande. Like, this really, I feel like, would hammer and hit so hard with that, with her real demographic, which is really not us, which is now it's probably girls our age. I'm not sure she's really that appealing to a younger girl anymore because Olivia Rodrigo exists and Taylor Swift is still around. But I think that this album really, I mean, I guess this is going off of my expectations, but my expectations were kind of blown up immediately almost because, one, this wasn't a dance record, and two, it was just kind of thematically way different than I thought it was going to be or than I expect from Ariana Grande, because obviously Positions and then Dangerous Woman had that song with Nicki Minaj with that super famous music video. And I was really impressed with the direction this went and kind of what was being brought up. all of it is kind of about choosing the wrong person. Obviously, in the last 4 years, she's been through divorce and there's been some messy-ass things. And I just felt like this album, more so than most mainstream pop artists, actually followed her, like, really is kind of the conglomerate of what has happened to her in the last few years, thematically at least. And the songs are really well produced. There's a variety of pop. And the whole time I was just like, yeah, Ariana Grande fans would adore this record. This could be their favorite record. Like, this is like old school her. This is hitting super, super comparable experiences. It's really just things everyone can really relate to, and the songs are really well done. There isn't, like, what is the other album that we talked about that we really liked, which was, probably 21 Savages.
Yeah.
There's some real lows on that record for me.
Okay.
And same with All Is Yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Some real lows, like that Swimming with the Fish one.
Mm-hmm.
The floor on, there were no lows for me. Like, every song that I heard, I really got where she was going with it. I was just really shocked with the direction she went with it, kind of thematically and sonically.
Yeah, I guess, like, what am I trying to say? I don't keep up with pop culture very much at all. And so I have no idea what's gone on in Ariana Grande's life since ever, pretty much. Since, like, the Pete Davidson stuff ended. That's kind of the last time I was familiar at all with anything going on in her personal life. So I guess that maybe affects my enjoyment of the album a bit, because I'm kind of thinking of these songs not as parts of, like, her personal narrative or something, but just kind of, like, isolated incidents in a track list, which is...
That's perfect, though. That's perfect for the sake of this conversation. So how do you feel about these in their isolation?
I think it's a pretty good album. Like, there's not a lot wrong with it, obviously, just because, like, she's been at this for so long and her voice is amazing, and, like, the production is obviously going to be pretty good just because of, like, the access that she has to people. I feel like sonically it is still pretty consistent for an Ariana Grande album. I feel like, like, you have a song like Eternal Sunshine, which still has, like, the, like, trap-influenced instrumentals that she likes to have in there occasionally. And it does still kind of largely exist as, you know, like, an electronic-adjacent pop record, which typically I'm really into. But, I mean...
So what? Why did maybe... it fall short this time? Why did this one fall short?
Maybe it's just, like, because I was feeling pretty good about this album until I listened to it today, and I was just feeling like all the songs were just ranging from, like, good to good at the high end to, like, excruciatingly fine at the low end. It's probably...
What songs were those? Let's talk about them. Let's talk about the bottom, like, end of the spectrum. What is excruciating? Which ones were excruciatingly fine?
Like, a song like I Wish I Hated You, I feel like falls into that category. Or, like...
The bottom three for me were probably...
Yeah, the bottom three are all pretty excruciatingly fine.
Which is I Wish I Hated You, Imperfect For You, and Ordinary Things.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, songs like that. I think also, too, this is definitely influenced by my mood right now. I'm just tired and not very... I don't know. I'm just, like, kind of tired and burning out a bit right now. So it's probably also just influenced by how I'm feeling at the moment.
I mean, one thing that I listen. I mean, when this album first came out, I thought this was outstanding.
Yeah, you texted me that night with just pure praise.
Yeah,
like, this is absolutely outstanding.
Cause, yeah, because DJ and I, we thought we were going to get a dance record, and then the intro's cool. Yeah. Like, the intro's fine. And then instantly in Dubai, those two songs, 2 and 3, we were like, whoa. Yeah. And then there was the interlude, which was cool for what was, for which, like, it furthered the...
And also, when it's the first time you're hearing an album, anything like that is going to be like, whoa, where is this going?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm assuming that it's like a metaphor for her being 29 and not really knowing. She's 30 now.
I thought it was like some astrology thing that I just wouldn't understand.
Because
it's the Saturn returns interlude.
Yeah, and I think Saturn comes. It takes 29 years to go around the sun. Once.
Probably.
And
it's pretty far away.
Yeah, and I just and DJ isn't here. DJ, DJ was planning on being here. Things got in the way. Listening to music with DJ is a very interesting experience, just because of the way that he kind of digests music as instantly is like how he takes music in and digests it in the moment is different from anyone else. So it kind of, I was kind of listening to the album in the way that he would listen to it because I was finding his kind of digestion of the music to just be kind of strange, and I was really liking it. And not strange in a bad way. He was just...
unique.
Yeah, just the way novel. He was comparing things and thinking of things as the music was going, I was like, this is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget where I was going with this, but...
you were channeling DJ's...
But the greater point I'm making, which was...
Oh.
I just felt like every... I thought that every song there was... I understood, because when I first saw the record, I was like, oh, 13 songs. Like, this is not what I thought. Like, usually, like, I think Sweetener had 18 or 21. Like usually Ariana, also it had no features except for Nona, who I had no idea who that was. That turned out to be her grandmother.
Yeah. Thank You Next has 12 songs.
Thank You Next has 12. Okay.
Positions has 14. I feel like pop albums in general, Sweetener's 15 songs. I feel like pop albums in general are typically shorter than, like, compared to hip hop albums, which get like to 25 yeah. songs.
Just because you make the music is made differently.
Yeah.
I just felt like I understood why every song was in the record. And so this was probably, and maybe it's because, like, one of the reasons, this was something that came up when we talked about Kid Laroi's the first time, where because I knew where the emotion was coming from and where it was directed,
mm-hmm.
the album was way more enjoyable for me.
Yeah, I think that context probably did a lot of heavy lifting for you.
For sure, because it makes the album personal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just really enjoy being able to kind of know where the artist is creatively coming from. To me, that's something that I find really fascinating.
Yeah.
So, and obviously this is me kind of throwing stuff at the wall. It always is. Kid Laroi's was a little bit more obvious than Ariana Grande's, but throughout the entire album, at the end of it, I was like, yeah, I can see why she picked these 13 songs, and I just know that there are people out there who would like every single song. And DJ and I were talking about it. The more he listened to it, the less he liked it. And it was kind of the opposite for me. It kind of the same as you, where you were like, wow, this is really cool. And the more you listen to it, you're like, okay, this is just like the bar is hit. And
yeah.
But it didn't go, like, she hit the bar and kept it at the bar. And maybe I recognized that and I wanted to, like, dive deeper in. So I, like, found another reason, like another piece of just like another branch to cling onto as mm-hmm. I listen to the album. But, like, the reason I'm bringing this up is because that's probably why I think the floor is so high. And, yeah, I think the melody on Imperfect For You is pretty annoying, but there would be people who would just... I just know there's people who would love that song. And I think that it's really, really hard. Like, this just feels like a record where she truly knows what her demographic wants, which I think is really hard to do. Really hard to do. people, like, that's like the, we always take it back to Drake, but like the Drake dilemma is
you always take
there's
it
30
back to
songs
Drake.
Because like he's got to feed everyone, right? So to have 13 songs and to have all of them, like, this is a pretty varied pop record. Like, for 13 songs, you got like the,
yeah,
like varied pop, obviously, like, yeah, in quotations.
No, I know what you mean, though.
Yeah.
Like this, it starts off with more like energetic, built up, electronic influence pop songs like Bye and Don't Want to Break Up Again, and then like Supernatural and stuff too, and then it sort of after the like real high note of energy with Yes And, it then like cools off and you get more softer songs and stuff. So like there is that variety there within the 13.
Mm-hmm. And I one of the reasons, and this is a thing I should bring up, is I knew this girl in high school who was absolutely obsessed with Ariana Grande to the point where like we all thought that it was like we were unfollowing them on socials because all they ever did was post about Ariana. Like I was looking at that person's Instagram,
mm-hmm,
through, and that really influenced like my other listens. I was like, they were just heaping insane amounts of praise on this. Like, this was my beautiful dark twisted fantasy, and I was like, all right, I need to listen to this again, and I need to think about it from her perspective. And when I did that, I was like, oh, this is a genius record. Like, this absolutely is clicking for that demographic. Just every single song, top to bottom. And the themes of every song are super relatable. And they're all experiences that one person can have, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm getting this now. And that's when I was like, oh, this is incredibly well done. Like, this is really meticulous. This would be really hard to make, honestly.
Oh,
like,
I mean, of
no,
course.
I mean like the track list and the messages you're trying to make. Like, obviously, it's insane. It's insanely hard to make pop songs in general. But I'm talking about like in the general music pot of how hard it is to make. This would be harder than I think most people think, and I have to appreciate it. This is like a really complete, really thought out body of work that took me a couple listens and a couple perspective shifts, but I mean, and it's important that you're here because obviously the common person would enjoy it the way you listen to it.
Yeah, which is, I do really like the like how much knowing about like the artist's personal life and what they've been going through since the last album. I really do like how that much affects the enjoyment of the album, because that's something that if I was a fan of Ariana Grande and like kept up with the goings on of her life and stuff, like that's something that I would really love if you came out with an album where like if you get it, you really get it.
Mm-hmm.
And for everyone else, it's like, eh,
yeah, you know,
it's like, it's good enough, it's a job done. But I do really like that, and I think that also just sort of adds to like your own ability, like your own like legitimacy as an artist too. Like if you know how to like make something for your target audience, I guess, or like care enough to sort of bring in things that like people would need context to be fully invested in, and to just be willing to do that. I'm articulating this idea so poorly. But...
No, but it's making perfect sense.
Okay.
It's coming across as, I understand. Anyway, so.
But it shows a lot of thoughtfulness,
yeah,
is what I'm trying to say. So I also appreciate that a lot too, which I obviously wasn't getting beforehand.
Yeah, and it always hits a little bit bigger with like the mega pop stars who you're like, yeah, you're so out of touch. Like who you just kind of assume is kind of like out of touch with everything the like the lay person is.
That's why love is the thing that everybody makes music about, is because if you made a song about your day-to-day if you made an album about your day-to-day struggles at this point, it would be completely unrelatable and unenjoyable. So that's kind of the glorious thing about love, is that we all feel it, we all experience it. And so, no matter where you are on the social ladder. And no matter if you've been famous since you were 15 or 16 because you were star of a Disney show, or if you're just some geezer in the basement of the student union building recording a radio show, you can relate to topics about love because it is the human experience.
And with that, should we wrap up this conversation? I don't have much more to say.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like, or what are the songs you really like?
Okay, the songs I really liked were by The Boy Is Mine, and I like Supernatural as well.
For sure. My top three would be We Can't Be Friends, Don't Want to Break Up, and Bye. But I really like Supernatural. I really like The Boy Is Mine. I do like Yes And. I think Yes And is really cool.
No, I like Yes And too.
Honestly, I pretty much like everything up until I Wish I Hated You. And then those three are good songs, but like I probably wouldn't seek them out.
Mm-hmm.
So which one should we play?
I'll vote for either I'll vote for either The Boy Is Mine or Bye.
Okay.
I'm with either of those.
All right. We'll do Bye then.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking of either of those.
What were you thinking of?
I was thinking of Don't Want to Break Up Again or We Can't Be Friends, but We Can't Be Friends already has 100 million streams, so we'll go with something that isn't as popular.
Yes.
That's our job.
That is quite literally the station's mandate, I think.
Yeah.
Even though we're playing an Ariana Grande song, but...
And with the context of our conversation.
Yeah, there we go.
It makes sense. Anyway, so we will play the second track off of Ariana Grande's new studio album, Eternal Sunshine. This is Bye. Finally moving through my fears. At least I know how hard we tried, both you and me. Didn't we? So I grab my stuff quickly, just pulled up in the driveway. It's time. Bye bye, boy bye. Bye bye, it's over.
Attention all writers, zine makers, artists, and musicians. Have you heard about the Anarchist Book Fair happening at UBC on March 20th and 21st? We're looking for all types of creatives to sell, give away, or trade. So if that's you, email Cora at sponsorship@citr.ca to book a table. This two-day event is for troublemakers and peacekeepers alike. So mark your calendars for March 20th and 21st so you don't miss the Anarchist Book Fair happening at the AMS Atrium.
How come Andrew gets to get up? If he gets up, we'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.
MRG Live presents Zahara at the Fox Cabaret on March 26, 2024. Hailing from LA's Highland Park, Zahara makes detailed melodic indie rock that flits between shoegaze, post-punk, and dream pop. Their airy melodies, pensive guitar, and heart-churning lyrics join to create a dreamy indie rock. Don't miss Zahara at the Fox Cabaret on March 26, 2024. Tickets are on sale now at admitone.com. Moon River, the collaborative new project from members of the Juno-nominated indie folk mainstays, The Wooden Sky and Linda Ortega, Kathleen Edwards, and Corb Lund's bands, could easily be described as a supergroup of sorts. Not just because of their collective talents, but because the music on their debut album, Volume 1, is simply super. Their knack for creating sonic worlds that are at once lightly trippy and wholly inviting means that as much as they draw on inspirations from decades past, they maintain a pleasing, distinctly out-of-time feel. Described as Buddy Holly meets krautrock, it's something that you need to hear to fully comprehend. And Vancouverites will have the chance on April 5th at Green Autobody at 1822 Pandora Street, alongside Brandon Wolf Scott and Jody Glenham. Advance tickets are on sale now via Eventbrite for $22.63. So get yours now and mark your calendar to see Moon River live on Friday, April 5th.
You've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue, right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Is how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man, good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
Hey, this is Noah from Christ on Parade, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Where's that? And we back, and we back, and we back. And that was the sound of my shoulder bumping the microphone. Apologies for everyone who listens with headphones.
I
will cover your medical bills someday for hearing damage. So that was by Ariana Grande off her new album Eternal Sunshine. Speaking of Eternal Sunshine, dude, the weather lately, am I right? It's been gorgeous.
What do you listen to when the weather's this nice? You have a specific album you go to? Do you have a Sunny Times playlist or anything, fam?
No, not really. I don't. Do you?
Course,
definitely do.
Absolutely.
You probably have five.
I have one.
No, you're from LA. I thought you'd have like more. You'd have one for every season, and it's all sunny out, sunny music because it never rains, except for now.
Dude, niche playlists are pretty important to me. I can't lie.
Fair enough.
What
music do you turn to on a Saturday?
Oh, that's a variety. Like the album that's like the most fun to listen to is like Thriller.
Hmm.
That one.
I mean, I think that would work no matter the weather.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that also is probably influenced by the fact that I've been hanging out with DJ a lot. And DJ loves Michael Jackson. But anyways, moving on to our next conversation, which is really about... I think that maybe we should discuss... or I think I would like to just kind of...
Stop burying the lead, Dana. Get into it.
What's up? Burying the lead. I was talking about this Metro Future Metro Boomin Future double album collab.
Mm-hmm.
We won't talk about it for a while.
Well, we'll talk about it when it comes out.
And when we do, and DJ will probably be with us, so we probably won't get to have as much air time. But,
what's your question? What are you trying to
get? Not a question. Just, I just want to know how you, like, what do you expect from this? Because this is, I mean, my question was, have you really ever sat down and listened to a Future record?
No. I can't say I actually
have. So this is your first run?
This will be, I guess this will be my first run.
You didn't listen to I Never Liked You.
Well, I did. I gave it, like, a pass. It was like, that's pretty cool. Oh, I listened to, the one he came out with in like 2020 as well, the gray cover. Yeah.
That one's not very good.
Yeah, I don't really remember what I thought about that album, to be honest. I did listen to I Never Liked You when it came out. I remember really liking 7:12 p.m. the opening track. Yeah, I remember just that being my main takeaway. I gave like a pass, thought it was cool.
Long, so, yeah. Real long. It was 22 songs.
Of course. That's what we were just saying about hip-hop albums. But
where does Future rank or land for you in the your general hip-hop kind of listening? How often do you cross just Future songs? Because I feel like you probably only listen to Future when he's with Metro Boomin or when he's on like a Drake song or something.
Yeah, that is primarily when I listen to Future. It's just when he's a feature with something else. I don't listen to a ton of, like, solo Future ever.
Really?
I mean,
as someone I consider, like, a hip-hop-focused listener, I'm shocked you don't listen to more Future than you do.
Yeah, I guess it would be surprising. It is worth noting, though, that for a big portion of when I was listening to just a lot of like rap specifically, early days of me getting into music, so 10th, 11th, 12th grade sort of thing, I had kind of just inherently written off like trap music as a whole as just being like kind of about nothing and not worth really listening to. So that obviously that is a perspective that has changed substantially, but a perspective of mine that's changed substantially, but that was how I felt at that time, is I didn't care to listen to like quote unquote mumble rap. That is why I Am Greater Than I Was by 21 Savage hit so hard for me at the first time, because I was,
that makes so mainly, much more sense. I never had that context.
Because I was mainly focused on like conscious rap and stuff like that. And so then to hear a guy that I had always associated with, just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, in my bag, going from that to a song like A Lot, it was, to him making an album that's more conscious and more aware and more personal, like that was very cool to me. And so that is
you're not getting that with Future.
No, and I know that. And I don't expect that. And at this point, I'm not going to be asking for that from the guy.
Where do you think Future is in my rap pantheon? How high do you think I?
He's top three. He's top three for you.
Oh, Future, dude, Future's a legend.
Yeah.
The best rap show I've ever been to was a Future rap show.
I imagine.
Like better than it was better than that Baby Keem show when he brought out. Because he had no backtrack. It was literally just him.
Nice.
With, like the 808. Yeah. Like, a lot of the time, you had no idea what song was coming on because it was so low. And there's so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Future is, an absolute legend, man.
The more Future I hear, the more I am convinced of his legend status.
Dude, Future has a 10 out of 10 record. And, you've never even listened to it.
I've listened to Dirty Sprite, too.
You have? Yeah. Okay, good. What's your favorite song of Dirty Sprite, too, then? Yeah, I need to know this.
Hold on. I need apologies, but I do need to look at the track list.
Fair enough, man.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like going back to DS... Whatever. DS2 is a cool album. Sorry.
DS2 is dope.
Oh, I I thought it was a drought is funny.
Yeah, that song is so hard.
Really, any of these first three could be my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
What about number seven? That's a classic.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Freak?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you how that one goes. Fair enough.
I'm excited. I'm excited to listen to this future. I know it's Metro Boomin, so it's not going to be like as futury as a future album could be.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that they're doubling it.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be more like 2 12-song albums or if it's going to be like 2 full, like 20-something song albums. If it'll kind of just be like one album split into 2 parts or if they're going to be kind of independent or if they're going to be more independent of each other.
I mean, when Future did his, like, when he released Future and then he released Hendrix, like, mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, yeah. Each album had 20 songs.
So you think it'll be like...
I don't think so. I think Metro Boomin, I just think it would take way too long to make and master. Because he had to do Spider-Verse 2, mm-hmm. and he has to do Spider-Verse 3.
True.
Which is, and that is when, and you have to send that to a music exec at a movie studio.
Mm-hmm.
The bar for that is insanely higher and way different, and they'll send you back real notes. I'm really curious. I didn't expect like the double album. I really would love to see what I because there's no way that it's just 2 albums. I mean, it could be. Like
It could well be that they recorded a bunch of songs and were like, these all kind of work together, and these all kind of work together, but these don't really work together as a full package, but we really like what we've done with both of these batches.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was wondering. I was like, there's no way they both sound the same. Or like, we'll find out. Maybe there's one that's just him. It's probably there's one with just him and Metro, and then the other one is like a bunch of people on it.
Just a bunch of features. Kind of
like Heroes and Villains, but Future mm-hmm. is on every song, which would be so dope.
That makes sense. I think that's probably the way you do it. Mm-hmm. You have like a collab tape and a solo tape.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really cool.
And Future collab tapes are always so tough. I'm assuming you've never listened to What a Time to Be Alive, but...
I've heard some of it, you know.
Oh, yeah, Jumpman's on there. Of course you have.
And Plastic Bag.
Okay. Yeah, Plastic Bag.
And Big Rings.
So good. That's the worst Drake song ever made.
Big Rings.
Yeah.
Look, man, when the Raptors won the championship, though, that was hidden. That and Trophies.
Oh, Trophies is so good. Big Rings is my least favorite Drake song ever. Ever. Like, I see all these people, like, sometimes I'll be on, like, Instagram or TikTok, and it'll be, like, top 10 worst Drake songs. And I'll be like, Big Rings isn't on here. Like, this is a bad list.
Invalid list.
Yeah. Number right. one, it'll be, like, Falling Back, and I'll just be like, invalid.
Gosh.
Anyways, there's so much music that we'll have to talk about. Next week, we'll talk about the new Justin Timberlake record,
mm-hmm.
which... wasn't all done by Louis Bell, which of course it wasn't, now that I think about it. I don't know why we thought the whole thing would be, honestly. But
I mean, I don't know. I didn't really think anything you just said, and I believed you.
Well, when both of the singles were him, mm-hmm. were the two of them, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Now
we have a pattern.
Yeah, but Justin Timberlake wants to make it like a variety of music. So I'm really curious what that'll be like. When was the last time he dropped before then? I haven't actually listened yet. All the way, because
yeah,
it was a rather long record, and I just... How long is this?
I've not listened to the whole
thing. It's 18 songs.
Yeah, okay.
And there are multiple... Whoa, there's 3 5.5-minute songs in a row. That could be dope.
Mm.
Technicolor's
really good.
Really?
Just to say right now.
7-minute song?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first bit of Technicolor isn't great, but then it gets quite good.
Okay.
It switches the beat. There's like a beat switch, and it gets quite good. There's my early review of the new JT album. Oh, and the song with NSYNC is cool at the bottom.
Oh, wow.
I did listen to the whole thing.
They got back together, or I don't know.
For a song.
I don't think Justin Timberlake's released a record since like 2017, dude.
Yeah.
So
I forgot that I did actually listen to that album all the way through on Saturday.
That's not good.
No, well, just Saturday was a busy day. A lot of things happened. I was driving to the optometrist
when
I was listening to it, so I was you know, it wasn't like a listening sesh. It was just on.
It was, yeah, it was a vibing with. Mm-hmm. Any songs you want to play?
If you want a song that, if you want a song that I'll actually laud a ton of praise on, because I didn't do any of that.
Oh, we should look at what else came out this Friday. There was a new Don Toliver song. There was a Cardi B song. I haven't listened to that.
I've not heard any of the new music other than like Timberlake and Sempre / Jeme by Angèle and Mahmood.
Was that this week?
That was this week. Because I've listened to that song so much already. I don't know why. It's very catchy. It's very catchy and it's good and I'd like to play it.
This new Sexy Red, I'm going to have to spin that soon. Dude, I think Fantana was right.
You think Fantana's
right? I was listening to some Sexy Red. I was like, oh, this is really going. I was listening to Bow Wow Wow or Bow Pow Bow.
She's got the energy, man. She's got the swagger, like the persona. And that can do a lot for you.
There was a new Gunna song. I mean, there was a new Gunna song, but there was a new Don Toliver song. Mm-hmm. And it kind of followed this. It kind of sounded like Bandit. Okay. Now it feels like he's prepping to drop a record, which is probably the thing someone like Don Toliver has to do. You probably can't wait 4 years to drop music when you're in kind of like in that, kind of in that spot in the hip hop space,
where you need to keep your name out.
Yeah, there. Where you're not like up there yet, but like, and you're good enough that when you do consistently drop, people will consistently listen, and there is like appetite for your music.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got a big show coming up in a few weeks, not even in less than a month. He's got a big show coming up, so he's gotta get new music ready for the
performance. When is Coachella? Performance.
not Coachella, my friend.
I think he is at Coachella. I think.
Okay, well, he's also performing at the last day of class barbecue thingy. Which is the thing I was referencing for those who don't go to UBC and don't know that Don Toliver will be performing at UBC, which is quite cool, in front of the Nest and all that.
I have to listen to this new Cardi B song, because Cardi B still hasn't dropped a record since Invasion of Privacy, dude.
Really?
No.
Wow.
Cardi B has one, or she has like those like...
I mean, she's had a kid and stuff.
She has all those. She has like those gangsta, all those tapes. Mm. She has like her like music before she was famous. Mm-hmm. She hasn't dropped since Invasion of Privacy.
Interesting.
And she's had, I mean, she had WAP. Yeah. She followed WAP up. They literally tried to do the same song again. I forget what that other song was called, like Bongos or something. and it was Megan Thee Stallion again, and it just didn't work.
Oh.
This her new song is called Enough in quotes my in parentheses Miami.
Okay.
I
mean, she's had like a kid and all that stuff in between Invasion of Privacy and now, so life happens.
I would be so interested to see what a Cardi B album now would sound like.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't even remember what Invasion of Privacy sounded like. Like that was so long ago, dude.
Bodak Yellow's got, you know, I mean, like, I can think of like what Bodak Yellow sounds like and I like it, but
two completely different sounding songs.
Yeah, two very different sounding songs.
I mean, I would love to see what the numbers do. I wonder if
it'll be pretty good.
I know, like, how big will it be? I would love to see. I wonder if she's still like on top, like, because Cardi B is like, or was on top of female rap for
when Invasion of Privacy came out.
Since then, honestly. I mean, maybe if there's... Because she kind of faded away, because that's what happens when you don't release music. Maybe Megan kind of pipped her for a second, but...
They're kind of jockeying, I think. Except they're also collaborators, so they're not really jockeying. They're more colluding, perhaps.
Yeah, I wonder... I mean, I wonder why she hasn't dropped a record. I mean, because
kids, you don't have to. Family... You know, she's done some collaborations and stuff, maybe just uninspired. Like, there's a thousand reasons. Too busy working on brand deals with McDonald's, you know?
And we'll really see. Because you have to listen to her. When she drops, you have to listen.
Yeah, but I feel like she's still been present with features and singles, the odd single here and there, even when there isn't a like an album rollout or anything. So, but I don't know. She's kept busy.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we'll end that part of the conversation there.
Okay.
But there was a new Kacey Musgrave album, which is something I need to listen to. If her last album was still golden, yeah, it was. I mean, oh no, it wasn't. I think she did a Christmas album at some point. But she won Record of the Year in 2019.
All right.
I think she beat like Scorpion, Astroworld, like. So Kacey, I mean, I don't know how into country you are.
No, but I know who Kacey Musgrave is.
Yeah, her, like anytime Kacey Musgrave releases music, like you usually gotta listen. So that'll be really fun to listen to. We probably won't talk about that on here.
Maybe.
I just won't have there just won't be enough to say.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
Not enough for me, at least.
Okay.
But country is, or country was, like, kind of on the rise.
It's got its hold.
Yeah, it isn't where it was, like, even a couple months ago.
Yeah, well, of course it's not, because it's hard to be the biggest thing forever.
You know? Unless you're rap. Which it's kind of lost its spot already.
Which it isn't.
And we totally called that. Or I called that.
You called it. You saw that. You saw the sort of...
The bottom just fell out.
Yeah, the bottom falling out of hip-hop. Like, mm-hmm. You noticed that before most people, it seems. Because we talked about that like a year ago, and now you're seeing like 4-month-old video essays on the same topic. Yeah. So.
I need to watch those. I wonder if they're... I forget what my rationale was. It just kind of was the fact that...
I think it was more of an observation.
No, we talked about like how SoundCloud, like that door into the industry had been closed. And that had kind of filled the floor up, right? Mm-hmm.
We also talked about the fragmentation too, I think, of music. Just how it's harder to get a concentrated audience because... Mm-hmm. There's 1,000 different artists and 1,000 different ways to discover those 1,000 different artists. And algorithms play such a huge role, too, that it kind of siphons people even more. So.
But when Playboi Carti drops, people listen.
Yeah, because he's sort of above that bottom falling out.
Yeah, of course. I mean, apparently he has a record coming. He's been pretty consistent releasing video music on YouTube.
Mm.
Have you listened to any of them since the first one?
Nah.
Oh, really?
Nah, I just don't... Whenever I'm on YouTube, I don't think about music.
Yeah.
Well, I do think about music because I watch, like, a Hive Mind video or something. But I'm not, like, trying to listen to music when I'm on YouTube. So if it's not on streaming, it just doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I mean, even on SoundCloud, it doesn't exist sometimes, but...
Mm-hmm.
Those songs are actually worth checking out.
Okay.
Almost all of them.
Okay.
I
think you've said this before, and I've had the exact same reply, and then proceeded to fail to heed your advice, so perhaps I should be better.
He's actually only... I mean, I'm shocked you haven't listened to the song with Travis Scott.
Yeah, that kind of, but again, like, it was just like on YouTube, I saw that it was a thing with Travis Scott, but I don't know. Maybe I'm lazy. I don't know. I just didn't care enough to go seek it out. I think because it was coming out on streaming and I didn't know it was happening, and then it's there, you just find out it's there, and then I feel like for me I have like a weird reaction. I can't really articulate it. The same effect with that happened with season 2 of The Mandalorian, where it's like a thing arrives that you're anticipating.
There was, and you didn't know.
There's like three or four seasons of it now. They've kept coming out with them. But,
Pedro Pascal's been busy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Busy.
But anyway, I don't know. My brain works in weird ways sometimes.
You're also just not really like tuned off the thing.
I also just, yeah, exactly. Like, I'll listen to the album when it happens, of course, but I don't really care that much for Cardi.
No.
He's my feelings about Playboi Carti are the same of like your feelings about LeBron. Where the discourse around hear me out, because the discourse around him and like the memes and his persona and all this stuff, he's just kind of funny to observe, and it's funny to observe how people react to the things that he does. And so, like, that's my investment in Cardi. It's not really in his music itself. It's just who he is, like, kind of funny.
Yeah, and him more so than everyone else.
And his fan base is so freaking funny,
yeah,
too.
I mean, you got to avoid them at this point, like the opium heads. But like,
well, no, but it's like, it's just the people on the Playboy Cardi subreddit. The people on the Playboy Cardi
subreddit. Those would not be real Playboy Cardi fans either.
Half of them are. Half of them are just there to shoot jokes. Like, they're not even talk. They don't even talk about Cardi half the time. They're talking about just anything.
And I don't think, and because his music is so objectively kind of abrasive. And bad. Probably bad.
It's objectively not. It's
you had
bad
to be
music.
There. You. Mm-hmm. He's one of the artists where you had to be there.
Yeah.
Like if you weren't there for Dial It dropping,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of the madness that came from that, then like you would like even if you were around for like Whole Lotta Red and all of that. At that point, so much of it had been leaked already. I think it had been leaked like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah,
him more so than everyone else is you had to be there.
Mm.
But I was there, and I still love him. He's still so fun. His music is so fun. And I feel like people almost don't give him enough credit.
Mm.
Because, I mean, had like...
There's so much of... I mean, yeah, again, like there's the whole context of the leaking and having to make all this music that make the entirety of Whole Lotta Red in 2 days and that and all that stuff and... It's admirable, but like a lot of Whole Lotta Red just sounds like it was made in 2 days because there will be a total of like 10 unique words across a 2.5 minute long song. So
what songs are we talking about?
Like Jump Out the House.
I think Whole Lotta Red is so good. I really enjoy.
Jump Out the House. What was the song you showed me recently?
I Love You, I Hate You?
Yeah, I Love You, I Hate You. They'll have really cool beats and stuff.
But I just feel like the flow on that song?
The flow can only do so much if you're only saying, again, like 5 or 6 unique words for an entire like minute long portion of the song, you know? So much of that was just like I felt like I was just losing brain cells.
Damn.
Listening to.
Yeah, you're not a vamp.
No, I don't claim to be. He's got some songs obviously that are quite good.
Like what?
Like Sky. What's
your favorite Playboi Carti song? I would love to know.
Probably Long Time.
Oh yeah.
Like Long Time, Magnolia.
He's
outstanding. Location is
we
really
can't even
cool.
Bring that up.
Sky. Yeah, like, and he does do his thing on Carnival. I will mention.
Yeah,
that.
I mean,
he's the best part of Carnival.
He got a number one.
Yeah,
it's number one on Billboard.
He's the best part of Carnival too, as the feature on that song. So
I think that's his first number one.
That would make sense.
Unless Magnolia went number one, I don't know if it did.
I don't know, but anyway,
I have utmost respect for him.
He has his moments, but.
The highs are high
that,
and the lows are insanely low for you.
Yeah. The highs are
the
few and far between.
The lows are excruciatingly low, it sounds like.
The highs are like a pretty sparse mountain range, but they go pretty tall. I can't think of any sparse mountain ranges with high peaks in them. But then the lows are like Mariana's Trench.
Fair enough, dude. I mean, I think that if we sat down and we had the lyrics on the screen and we listened to Whole Lotta Red top to bottom, you'd be like, okay, I can see this.
Like, yeah, like I'll probably be able to appreciate it if I went back to it and like really just sort of forced myself to see the appeal of every single one of this. Like, I get why people like Cardi. Like, I do get the appeal.
And what is the appeal?
It's fun, it's loose, it's a good atmosphere. We have to get out of we have to end this broadcast very soon.
Music collective.
Yeah, I know. But, like, it's fun. It's a goofy atmosphere and stuff, and it's pretty unserious, and so I get why it's popular. But with that being said, we do have to get off the air now, so thank you all so much for listening to this week's episode of Music's on the Menu. Stay tuned to CITR. The Music Collective's coming up, as they've just let us know. And, yeah, just stay tuned to CITR for all the great programming that the station has to offer. And we'll be back here next week to talk about some more stuff. So thank you very much, and peace.